So Hope asked about favorite things, and I was like, and I don't remember her name, but I too have a living creature that's one of my favorite things. Tacoma is a 7-pound Pomeranian who stays with Ingy and David all day long, and then when I come home, I pick him up. And he greets me with such exuberance and joy and unconditional love. He reminds me of the welcome that God gives us and the joy with which God receives and embraces us. So, thank you, Hope. Grace and peace to you from God, who through Jesus Christ casts out all fear, who through the Holy Spirit empowers us to step out of our safety zones, to move away from self-serving ways, and instead move towards the other and serve them in their time of need. Amen. I'm starting with fear today. Fear. Who here has ever been afraid? I wonder if you've ever felt like those disciples must have felt back then when they didn't understand what Jesus was teaching them. Have you ever been afraid to ask questions because you're ashamed of your lack of understanding or you feel ignorant? That's me. Especially as I come from a family that I feel has several educators and academics, and add to that my shy nature and being an introvert. I don't ask questions, or I didn't used to. Who here has feared asking questions because the truth of what is being said or taught is so disturbing or distressing that you don't want to go there? Last week, Pastor Shields talked about Jesus getting real with the disciples as he spoke with them about his suffering and death, about denying oneself and taking up the cross. That Jesus would suffer and die was incomprehensible and, in fact, a sticking point for the disciples. Another sticking point for them was what it meant to deny oneself and take up one's cross. Tall order. Tall order to be last of all and servant of all. What do you suppose the disciples may have wanted to ask that they were afraid to ask? Maybe it was, how can it be that the Son of Man or Son of God will suffer and die? You want us to believe that? Is not our God all-powerful, one who can conquer all things? And how do we, as his followers, respond to the statement about being servant of all? What does that mean for us? Yes, today we heard Jesus tell the disciples again that he would die, that he would be killed after being betrayed into human hands. He told them again that after 3 days he would rise. And the disciples were so paralyzed by their fear that they dared not ask the questions that were burning on their hearts. Instead, they had a conversation or an argument amongst themselves about who would be the greatest. They jockeyed for rank and status, as if they were competing for Jesus' favor. Aren't we all a little inclined to long for that special place of favor? We worry about how we stack up against others, against maybe people we see as our competitors. Jesus addressed their conversation, their discussion, or argument by saying, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And then he talked about welcoming children. Children in those days had no legal status. They were considered insignificant, unimportant. Glad things have changed. Do you have fears? And if so, what are they? What questions might be generated by your fears? Or maybe by the truth as you hear it? And are there fears that this congregation has? In the hospital where I serve, some of the questions that have come up are, as people face life-changing or serious illness, why is this happening to me? How is it that God allows bad things to happen to good people? Have I done anything wrong? Why does God allow evil to prevail? I haven't faced life-threatening illness, serious illness. Questions I have asked on my journey include, what next? How do I move forward and take those beginning steps? Have your fears impeded your ability to take even one small step? One small step forward in faith? I know my fears have impeded me at times. So how do we move past them to see opportunity and possibility in whatever challenges we face? Certainly depends on the challenges we face, how we're able to meet them and overcome our fears. When I felt I had gone about as far as I could go in one career, I did wonder what would be next. Personal struggles led me back here to this place, this church, where I became more active and where ultimately a conversation with an intern led me to my sense of call to seminary and ordained ministry. Family members were surprised. They wondered how Fifi, shy girl that she is, would be able to preach, let alone lead worship. She wondered herself. It's still a pretty scary challenge, especially here on home turf. But pastors, congregational members, others encouraged me to take some of those first steps. And so began a major career change and new life direction. Some doors closed, new doors opened. However, after serving three different congregations over a period of 14 years, the third one being an interim, a next call didn't materialize right away. At that time, I was hoping to be closer, to move closer to family, to move away from a colder climate and closer to what I call home. I would admit that that's a little bit self-serving and selfish. And I put my name into the synods on the West Coast, and still there was no movement. A phone interview here and there, but nothing promising. So then I started wondering, was this God's way of leading me in yet another direction? Clinical chaplaincy? And for me, that was about the only option I feel I had at the time. But I resisted it. I spent a year with my older brother trying to figure out what was next. And still no call to a congregation. But finally, when nothing happened, I resigned myself to considering a year of what's called clinical pastoral education, CPE, a year of residency through Pacific Health Ministry, which brought me home and certainly close to family at what I feel is a crucial time. And it got me away from the cold. Thank goodness. What more could I ask for? But I still resisted that call to chaplaincy for at least 6 more months. I didn't want to be a chaplain, and I didn't think I could be. Fear and anxiety overrode everything, whatever, they prevailed. But a turning point finally came when I moved after 6 months from Kaiser to Kapiolani Medical Center for Women and Children. And finally, I started realizing that, oh, God might be able to use me as a chaplain and maybe needed me in that role. By the end of residency, I even had ideas of where my gifts might best be used. But wouldn't you know it? There were no such positions available. God does have a sense of humor. So instead, the director of PHM, the then director of PHM, asked me if I would consider serving at Kaneohe State Hospital. This time, though, trusting in God and faith helped me overcome my anxieties, my fears, and I was allowed to ask, well, why not? I served there for 2 years. I don't regret a moment of the time I spent there, and sometimes I miss it. God keeps leading me in new directions, through other doors. God has, through the wisdom of others, helped me see possibility as well as opportunity in the challenges I have faced. So currently, I serve at Kaiser Moanalua. My primary role is as palliative care chaplain, and I've been there 2 years. For now, it seems a good place to be and a good call. But is that enough? What other steps forward in faith might I or might we take? Certainly there's plenty of need in our front yard right here locally and globally. Certainly there are concerning issues to be aware of and maybe involved in somehow. What questions should I be asking? What questions should we be asking? What conversations should we as a congregation be having? There are conversations happening right now, which are kind of exciting. I know that God will provide continued direction for us, for me, as we ponder what it means to welcome those who might be unwanted, without status, or insignificant. That we might be able to welcome those people into our arms as Jesus welcomed the little child. But are we aware of those times when our fears keep us from stepping forward in faith to serve as we have never served before? David Lowes of Lutheran Theological Seminary writes, quote, "Fear, you see, ultimately blinds us to God's action all around us. And as we call attention to God's presence and movement among us and invite each other to join in God's work through even the smallest of steps, we realize that the God who once created out of nothing made light from darkness and raised Jesus from the dead, that God is still at work, not dispelling our fears, but keeping us from being overwhelmed by them and helping us to move forward in faith." End of quote. It is that same God who welcomes each and every one of you, each and every one of us, through Jesus Christ. Whether we understand or not, whether we know or not, no matter what questions we have, we need not fear. For just as Jesus embraced the little child, Jesus readily scoops each of us up and embraces us wherever we are on the journey, giving us courage to step forward in faith, to practice living God's welcome, to practice serving as we have never served before, and to continue talking and sharing our faith conversations, our faith stories. Amen.